from the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, Hannibal Lecter signing timesheets? A new study shows one of every 25 bosses qualifies as a psychopath. And that's not scary enough. The season's big chill is heading our way. First, an afternoon earthquake in Irving shook houses all the way to Dallas. The 3.5 magnitude quake was strong enough to rock chairs and rattle windows. People as far north as Plano and Denton felt it. Brian Stump is a seismologist at SMU.
This is one of the larger events that have occurred in that area in recent time. Although I would add that it's about the same size as a couple of the events that occurred in the Azle area over the last year and a half.
There were four larger quakes in late 2013, two in Azle that measured 3.6 and two in Mineral Wells at 3.7. All of this recent activity underground is why SMU researchers installed three seismic stations near Irving, including one yesterday afternoon. Stump and his colleagues say this will help them better pinpoint the exact locations of the quakes. There have been as many as 20 in Irving.
You know, even this part of Texas has old faults, and those old faults have stored stress. There have been some indications in the past that the disposable fluids can trigger small earthquakes. So that's still an open question in this particular case.
Stump says more than 100 quakes have been registered in North Texas since 2008. If you feel one, Stump says go to the USGS.gov website to report under the Did You Feel It tag. The Texas Association of Business has a long wish list for the new state legislature, which convenes next week. At the top of that list, public education. The advocacy group invited two Republican senators from Fort Worth to lunch today to talk about schools, teachers, and state money. Diana Douglas listened in.
The Texas Association of Business wants kids coming out of the state's high schools ready to enter the workforce or college. Many aren't, lamented CEO Bill Hammond. He proposed to the Fort Worth senators that the state schools should be graded on a scale A through F.
To me, it makes a lot of sense. Schools give grades every day.
Right.
Our rating system in Texas says that 90% of our campuses are meeting standards. I don't think anybody really believes that.
Rookie State Senator Connie Burton won Wendy Davis's seat by pitching her Tea Party credentials. The idea of letting parents pull kids out of failing schools and forcing schools to get better through more competition sounds pretty good to her.
If there are those that are trapped in a school, a public school that is failing, I'd like to see some options for them.
Texas may start ranking schools this way in 2016, although the idea has been met with stiff resistance from many lawmakers. Kelly Hancock, the other senator on the panel, wants the school rankings to be easier to understand, although he wasn't ready to sign on to the A through F scale yet.
If our goal is to have an accountability system that parents of school children who are looking out for the best interests of their children understand, we don't have it. And we need to get it.
Public education has been the most high-profile victim of state budget cutting in recent years. The courts have thrown out the state's public school funding system several times and may force the legislature to spend more on education. When asked by Bill Hammond about finding the money, Kelly Hancock said he doesn't just want to raise taxes.
$12 billion in new taxes.
So, well, how many of y'all want to pay that? All right, good. That's kind of what I thought.
Higher education is also a priority for the business lobby. The group wants more students getting through college quickly by rewarding colleges that graduate students within 4 years. Hancock agrees that colleges in Texas could use more oversight.
When you compare what we're doing in the state of Texas with what other states are doing in higher education, we've lost significant ground.
Right.
Higher education is not at the top of Connie Burton's to-do list.
I don't put as much emphasis on college. What I worry about more than anything is that we're not an entrepreneurial country anymore.
Burton would like to make the state friendlier to small businesses with tax breaks. That's something the Texas Association of Business can always get behind. For KERA News, I'm Diana Douglas.
While psychopaths reportedly make up about 1% of the country, they occupy nearly 4% of its management positions. These figures are part of a study co-authored by Craig Newman, a professor of psychology at the University of North Texas. He's on the line with me now to talk about what this means and how it could affect the workplace. Craig Newman, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, Justin.
First off, what is a psychopath? I'm going to assume we're not just talking about serial killers here.
That's correct. A psychopath, technically, it's a personality disorder. It involves an individual who displays behavioral characteristics in four major domains: interpersonal manipulativeness, deceitfulness, grandiosity. The second domain is emotional or affective coldness, callousness. The third domain is a behavioral impulsivity, a recklessness, a thrill-seeking sort of behavioral style. And then the fourth domain is an overt antisociality. And this doesn't necessarily just involve criminality, but this involves individuals who fail to conform to social conventions. So it's an individual who displays high levels of these traits in these four domains chronically over time.
With those domains in mind, do we know what kind of negative effects a psychopathic boss could have on a business?
We know that it creates increased conflict between work and family life, and increased emotional distress in the employees that have to work with such bosses, and perhaps most notably, has a strong impact on job satisfaction.
Do we know why management positions seem to attract so many psychopaths?
Well, this is a very interesting question. In fact, it may be a bit of a chicken and an egg question. In business settings, it's often the case that to be a good salesman, one presents a fairly slick package. Now, I'm not saying that sales individuals are liars by any means, but they present an image of the product that is in the best terms. And so psychopaths, they tend to lie regularly to manipulate and deceive. And so it may be the case that certain interpersonal characteristics, manipulativeness, deceitfulness, and emotional characteristics like callousness are actually helpful in some senses in a business environment when conducting a deal, from the extreme of a hostile takeover to perhaps more mundane elements of trying to make a sale in a local community.
There are a lot of workers who are probably thinking, you know, wow, my boss might be a psychopath. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, the first and foremost piece of advice is to document. It's very important to document any sorts of email interactions, any sort of in-the-hall conversations. Write it down in a note, date it if you can have witnesses. In the more extreme case, the individual, it might be best for them to seek a job in some other part of the organization or consider leaving and going to a new organization. It can be the case that if, say, an employee went to Human Resources and they spoke about what's going on between them and their psychopathic boss, that the human resource individual, when they go to meet with the boss, they find that, oh, this is a nice guy. How could this person ever do anything of the nature that the employee is accusing them? So it's very important to document and very important to consider one's well-being and whether it's worth staying with such an organization.
Craig Newman is a professor of psychology at the University of North Texas. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
For tips on how to deal with a psychopathic boss, go to KERANews.org. The Oregon and Ohio State fans streaming into town better gear up. The walk from the parking lot to AT&T Stadium for the college football championship is gonna be cold. Starting tomorrow, temperatures will dive well below average and there's no warm-up in the forecast. In fact, things could get downright wintry before week's end.
There's another front that's going to push through on Friday. We might actually see a mix of some sleet and snow on Friday and maybe even into Saturday associated with that system.
And meteorologist Matt Bishop with the National Weather Service in Fort Worth says travel could be dicey on those days, so Ducks and Buckeyes should keep a close eye on the weather. Again, mostly clear tonight to a low around 30. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 32. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cold, with a low around 19. It's currently 54 degrees in Dallas, 53 in Fort Worth, 54 in Tyler, and 43 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.